He lived to be 91 or 2, I think, and toward his late 80s, he developed double cataracts. And this was at the very time when early cataract surgery was just being pioneered. So he, of course, said, "Okay, I'll try it," and it didn't work. And so he stayed devoted to painting what he saw, and he painted the masterpiece water lilies through double cataracts. Who would have imagined, at a lifetime of being devoted, painting what you see, that his masterpiece, one of them, would come by being faithful to what he saw as his eyesight was breaking down?
Yes. And the most famous, so many of us have those prints on our wall because they are so satisfying and nurturing to our eyes and our hearts. I want to talk about those of us who are, we are partnering with someone who is very debilitated. And so we're caretaking that person, and we too are aging ourselves. As a caretaker, we're navigating the bureaucracies of healthcare. It's so difficult, this, and so many of us are doing it, and having to do it, and our own physicality that we might have to lift someone or help someone into their wheelchair, and we ourselves are not as strong as we used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Please share with us whatever you can.
First, I totally understand, and I don't have any answers. I have compassion because, even though I'm well, I'm starting to feel those things too, But this, it's such a painful gift to care for someone you love so deeply. And I think that the challenges we face as we age make more acute and bring into relief the challenges we face all along the way. They just make them more pronounced, and then the lessons are deeper. It's both heartbreaking, and I have friends who have partners with Alzheimer's who are caring. And I think what it highlights for me, and there's no, the gift of loving someone so deeply, which, as we know, compassion means to be with. So we are going to be with their pain. We are going to be with the fact that we can't take it away. We are going to be, and I think what this brings up for me is, being honest and about our limitations, being current, asking for help. It brings us into the world of humility. And a great example, not like apart from the older situation, is just say that you need to have your old refrigerator moved. So you call me up, say, "Can you help me?" I come over. Sure. And as we start to lift it, you say, "You got your end?" Well, if I'm not honest, I could hurt you. So if I love you and I'm honest about my own limitation, I go, maybe we need to call a third person. So I think that we really, it forces us as caretakers and as the patient or the one who's more debilitated to really be honest about what we can and can't do and be humble enough to ask for help. To say, I can't do this right now. I can't, I know you need me right now and I'm exhausted. Can we call someone else?
That kind of honesty, I want to say, hey, I'm exhausted. I need a timeout. That's okay when you're working with someone
It's
because
necessary.
it can be exhausting and then you burn out and then everybody's kind of.
And years ago in my cancer journey, I learned this because when people could be honest, it allowed me, even in my debilitation, to help them. And that was medicine for me.
Oh, I
So
remember
when
that.
someone, yeah, so when someone could say that, "Oh, I'm really spent." And often people would say, "Well, you're the one going through it. That don't worry about me." And I say, "No, I can tell you're exhausted. What's going on?" And when they would admit it or when they would cry, then even though I was the patient, I could be there for them, and that made me stronger. And then we're carrying it together, even in whatever way we can, But it is such a heartbreaking thing to watch someone you love struggle and not be able to take it away or do everything that you would want to do.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I want to talk about another analogy that I'd love for you to kind of unpack for us so that I understand it more fully. And this is an analogy of the beaver and the inlet, and about ways of living that we might be able to choose.
Yeah, so what I was referring in there is that, you know, the beaver makes a dam to live in. But if it makes the dam, let's say we have an OCD beaver, okay, or, you know, a neurotic beaver, then the dam is too big and too thick, and it doesn't allow water to come around it or through it. And now the beaver is isolating itself from what it needs to live. And so for us, that the metaphor is, and again, we experience this our whole lives, but it's more pronounced as we age, because, you know, what kind of walls, boundaries, what kind of parameters do we build around us, and how thick and deep? So again, our work of self-awareness is to say, you know, I need those actually as I get older to be thinner so more people can get in to help. Because one of the things that on the outer plane, most people who are working for their lives, or, you know, that as we age, there's a natural isolation that comes from the built-in connection and social interaction that was just everywhere, just going to work or going to the grocery store, or it's not there unless we initiate it. So that means that, no, we have to have more windows and more, and throw the door open. And that means if you can, when we were younger, maybe we wanted a space and say, okay, I've had enough of people. I want to read at home, and I don't want anybody to bother. Well, maybe now you need to go read in a cafe, even if you don't talk to anybody, because there's other life around you. These are some of the shifts.
Right.
Emotionally, when we're younger and throughout our lives, we can practice being open, but we really need to open ourselves when we feel closed.
Yeah.
And likewise, you know, we need, the more infirm or the more limitations we have, the more we got to open our windows and doors, the more we have to invite people in, because we can't readily go out as much or as easily as we did when our spirit wants to go out even more. So how do we, this is the shifts and horizons that I try to talk about. And again, I don't have any answers. I'm discovering these things that we're being asked to do myself as I'm aging, and just trying to give words to them, you know, trying to open up conversation around what we're being asked to, how we're being asked to shift and grow and not compensate, but to enlarge our sense of things as our physical bodies make us more still.
I think that's well said. I really, that gives me the image of how we tap into the inner self that can be quite expansive as we are maybe more limited in our physical self. But there's more that we can be doing and enjoying and actually be excited about. And that also has to do with art projects that we might want to do and to really keep ourselves in a creative flow.
Well, and this is where what I mean by creativity in the second half of life, it's not about becoming an artist and creating great art. It's that I have found through my life as a poet But I have found that the introspective process and the creative process are really the same thing. And so regardless of what we produce or create, that engagement, that open-mindedness and open-heartedness, that a dialogue with life and with question and with pain and with wonder, all of that is necessary for us. Our life is the work of art. And as we cross into the second half of life, we may create things. We may leave a trail of artifacts that are helpful and wonderful. But this engagement, this is what I mean by creativity in the second half of life. This will be the practice, the heart authenticity practice, that will help us live a full life with no feeling unfelt, no, you know, idea unturned, unlooked at, and help us stay. You know, I think the real purpose of perception is to constantly go beyond what we know, not confirm what we already know.
Yes, and what we've built fences around and set up tent and saying, yeah, okay, this is it. I don't need to learn anything more. This is it. I've been there, done that. Boom. And, you know, I'm also wondering, as we're talking about, I think it was Muriel Rukeyser who said that the universe is not made up of atoms. It is made up of stories. And yeah, this just takes me to storytelling and the listening and the telling each other's story. You know, we've been with those people who just kind of repeat something and they're not really present to what they're saying. But I'm talking about the kind of storytelling. I want to give an example. Recently, my best friend died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was just, I hold her history and she held mine.
Yeah.
We told each other our stories with such depth and feeling. So we held each other, and that's what I'm missing, is to have someone in my life that knows me so thoroughly as she did. And there's a big void in my life on that, but it just is forcing me then to find other ways of both listening and telling. I know that's, you have something to say.
Yeah, that's beautiful and so important. And I'm so sorry for your loss there.
Thank you.
And it does, I think this is the thing where stories engage us in the heart, and we're forced to be present by sharing true stories and listening truly. And it does force us to go out. And I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, I had a dear friend and mentor who died at 102. And, you know, a week later, I was sitting in a cafe in New York City in the conversation with a stranger, thinking of, like, I've got to tell something of Joel's life, right? Something. And realizing that I can do that, and I did, but I also have to take all of that and ask for the next story. And all of his presence and all of his love will be in there, in what I can bring to the next story, you know, to the next person and the next story in this unbelievable, you know, I just wrote a poem. I don't have it that I can recite. This is called How to Get By. During the last hurricane, I saw neighbors on the news passing sandbags in a line to build a wall against the storm. That night, I dreamt of our ancestors passing their stories of wonder and pain like sandbags from generation to generation, to give us something to stand behind in the storms to come. So when you feel that all you're going through is for nothing, lift your story like a sandbag and pass it on. It will do more good than you can know.
Oh, Well, this takes us to community. Aging is not, and I think you'll agree with this, is not a time for isolation.
Absolutely.
And you talk about we are really looking for kinship and not approval. So if you could just sort of unpack that for us, what's the difference between kinship and needing approval?
Well, an approval is that it just like the beaver that makes the dam too big. On the other side, approval is when we give ourselves a way to belong. Now, this is what I know, but if you don't accept me, oh my God, I'll give it all away. Just accept me. And kinship is when, just like you were sharing about your dear friend or the next person we meet who we invite into authenticity, kinship is by through authenticity, we feel and inhabit our kinship with all things. One of the rewards for authenticity is the experience of oneness, in addition to whatever we might experience as friends. And so that being authentic and this kinship. And so, you know, as hard as it is, we just have to keep saying hello. I had an interview several months ago. I think it was before my back surgery, but it was with a young woman who ran a magazine and a podcast in London, and she was asking about her younger generation and loneliness, and I didn't have advice, but what came to me was from my cancer journey is, you know, you don't interview ambulance drivers, you take the first one.
Right.
So if you're lonely, say hello. It doesn't mean you're going to, you know, our prerequisites, it's going to have to be a soulmate or a life. No, even if it's awkward, even if it's just hello and thank you or how are you today and you never see them, say hello, open up. Because another kind of law of spiritual physics that I've discovered, and this really was an insight my oldest friend, who I immediately thought of as you shared about yours, Robert, and we have that kind of friendship that you have had and have, you know, he had this insight about like a corollary to Newton's third law, that every action has an equal and opposite, that it spiritually and with the energy of life, that life reveals itself to us in exact degree to how much we lean in. If we don't lean in, which with all of the social media and the isolation, and we just watch and we go, oh, there's nothing there. Well, that's because we didn't lean in. We didn't take a step. We didn't hold nothing back. And then life shows its wonder. Then life reveals itself. And again, as we age, even though it hurts, we got to lean in.
Get off the bleachers and get into the game. You know, I'm thinking of a question. You know, one of the questions that I'm contemplating, how I can meet a new person and not get just their rote sort of, how are you, where are you from, blah, blah, to say, what is bringing you joy these days?
That's a wonderful question. And I also think that another question that I've started to ask, not especially young people as well as aging, is what's it like to be you? What's it like to be you? There's no agenda. There's nothing except to know what is the world that is you. And another thing about, I think, is that, you know, because obviously in our modern world that, you know, elders have not been valued or treated because there's such a fear of death and such a running to youth. But, you know, to ask people who have been here a long time, what do you see from where you are now? What do you see that the rest of us don't see yet? What is it that, not that I will live exactly as you have, but if life is this incredible climb to a larger and larger view up this mysterious mountain, what do you see now? What has your life opened you to that you can share with the rest of us? And likewise with suffering, you know, everyone who suffers has a wisdom the rest of us need. And because we all suffer, we all have a wisdom. What do you know now for what you've been through? These are incredible questions that, you know, don't open up conclusions, but open up this kinship.
The conversation.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And oh gosh, I know that there's so much more we could cover, because I know that gratitude is a big part of staying healthy and vibrant as we age and other things. So we'll have to wait for another time for all of that. But anyone can pick up the book and get wonderful questions and exercises from that. I just want to tell our listeners, I've been speaking with spiritual teacher, poet, philosopher, Mark Nepo, and he, as I said earlier, he's the author of many, many, many books. Oh, goodness. And the newest one is The Fifth Season, Creativity in the Second Half of Life. And if you want to know more, you can go to his website, marknepo.com, and he spells his last name, N-E-P-O, marknepo.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3841.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Mark Nepo, author of The Fifth Season. And next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about the challenges and many gifts we can tap.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. It keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.